Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Republic of Plato by Adam Kirsch is a guided encounter with one of the most influential works in Western thought. Rather than presenting Plato as a remote monument of philosophy, Kirsch approaches the Republic as a living argument about how to order a society and how to educate a soul. He orients readers to the dialogue form, the dramatic setting, and the central characters, especially Socrates, whose method of questioning turns political debate into moral inquiry. Kirsch highlights why the book still matters. It confronts enduring tensions between justice and power, freedom and authority, idealism and realism. The result is an accessible companion that helps modern readers track the text's major claims without reducing its complexity. By emphasizing both the political blueprint and the inward psychological dimensions of Plato's project, Kirsch shows how The Republic remains a demanding, unsettling, and surprisingly practical meditation on what it means to live well together. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, justice as the core question of political life. Kirsch frames the Republic around its animating problem, what justice is and why anyone should choose it. Plato stages the question as a confrontation between everyday moral intuitions and harder arguments that praise success, domination, and reputation over goodness. Kirsch helps readers see how the dialogue uses competing definitions of justice to expose what is at stake in politics and personal character. Justice is not treated as a mere legal arrangement, but as a standard that tests the legitimacy of social order and the integrity of individual choices. The dialogue's early exchanges show how quickly appeals to tradition or common sense break down under scrutiny, and Kirsch emphasizes that this breakdown is purposeful. It pushes the reader toward deeper accounts of human motivation, the desire for honor, and the fear of being exploited. By tracking the movement from surface morality to fundamental principles, Kirsch clarifies why Plato thinks political arguments must rest on a theory of the good, not only on compromise or custom. The upshot is that justice becomes both an external issue, what a city should reward and punish, and an internal issue, what a person should love, fear, and pursue. Secondly, building the ideal city to reveal the ideal soul. A central interpretive move Kirsch highlights is Plato's construction of an ideal city as a large-scale model for understanding the individual. The city is not only a utopian fantasy, but a tool for analysis. By distributing roles and functions across social classes and institutions, Plato makes visible the patterns of desire and discipline that also operate within a single person. Kirsch explains how the city's structure, including the division between producers, guardians, and rulers, is designed to illuminate the psychological structure Plato proposes. In this reading, political design and moral psychology are inseparable. The question of which group should rule becomes a question of which part of the self should lead. Kirsch also brings out how the city is shaped through education, habits, and shared stories, suggesting that a society is engineered as much by what it celebrates as by what it prohibits. The ideal city therefore serves two functions at once. It offers a provocative picture of order and stability, and it exposes how hard it is to achieve justice without reshaping the desires of citizens. The city is a mirror held up to the soul, revealing that political harmony depends on inner harmony. Thirdly, education, culture, and the formation of character. Kirsch emphasizes that the Republic is as much a theory of education and culture as it is a blueprint for governance. Plato treats citizens as made, not merely managed, and he focuses on how music, poetry, stories, and training shape emotional reflexes long before reason takes full command. Kirsch guides readers through the logic behind Plato's controversial prescriptions about which narratives a society should endorse and which it should reject. These proposals can sound like censorship, yet Kirsch shows how they stem from a belief that culture is never neutral. The myths people absorb teach them what to admire, what to fear, and what to count as success. Plato wants a culture that trains courage without brutality, gentleness without weakness, and devotion to truth over applause. Kirsch also draws attention to the laddered nature of education in the dialogue, moving from early formation to advanced intellectual discipline. The purpose is not job training, but the cultivation of judgment and self-mastery. This topic reveals why Plato links political stability to moral pedagogy. A just city requires citizens whose desires have been educated, and rulers whose minds have been trained to resist flattery, wealth, and ambition. Fourthly, philosopher rulers and the demands of leadership. Kirsch presents the philosopher ruler as Plato's most famous and most misunderstood proposal. The point is not simply to hand power to academics, but to insist that legitimate authority must be guided by knowledge of what is good, not by popularity or force. Kirsch explains why Plato thinks ordinary politics tends to reward persuasive performance instead of truth-seeking, and why the dialogue treats philosophy as a discipline that can reorient a person away from appetite and status. The philosopher ruler is trained to love understanding more than advantage, and to see beyond immediate interests to the long-term health of the whole. Kirsch also underscores the paradox that true philosophers may not want to rule, because governing can distract from contemplation. Plato therefore builds an argument about duty. The best people must accept responsibility precisely because they are least tempted by power. This sheds light on leadership as moral burden rather than personal prize. By tracing these tensions, Kirsch helps readers consider contemporary questions about expertise, technocracy, democratic legitimacy, and civic trust. The ideal is not perfect governance, but a standard that reveals how leadership fails when it lacks truthfulness, restraint, and a genuine orientation toward the common good. Lastly, democracy, tyranny, and the inner politics of desire, Kirsch highlights the dramatic sequence in which Plato compares different regimes and links each political form to a characteristic type of person. The analysis of democracy and tyranny remains striking because it treats political collapse as an outgrowth of psychological disorder. Democracy can appear attractive because it promises freedom and equality, yet Plato worries that untrained desire turns freedom into impulsiveness and makes citizens vulnerable to demagogues who flatter their appetites. Kirsch clarifies that Plato is not offering a simple partisan attack but a diagnosis of how societies drift when they lack shared standards of excellence and self-control. The descent toward tyranny is portrayed as a process. A craving for unlimited choice creates instability. Instability invites a strong man, and the strong man consolidates power by feeding fears and rewarding dependence. Kirsch shows how this political story doubles as a moral one. Tyranny is the rule of the most lawless desires within a person, a condition of internal slavery, even when it masquerades as strength. By focusing on the interplay between civic institutions and personal character, Kirsch encourages readers to see political health as inseparable from the cultivation of restraint, reason, and responsibility. The topic connects ancient arguments to modern anxieties about polarization, spectacle, and the erosion of civic norms. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who are curious about Plato but want a clear path through the Republic without losing its complexity. Students encountering the dialogue for the first time, general readers interested in political philosophy, and anyone thinking seriously about justice, leadership, and education can benefit from Kirsch's orientation. The main life value comes from the way the argument forces reflection on motives, what you pursue, what you call success, and what kind of inner order is required to live with integrity. By connecting politics to psychology, the discussion encourages readers to examine how habits, culture, and unexamined desires shape both personal choices and civic outcomes. Compared to many introductions that either oversimplify Plato into slogans or treat him only as historical background, Kirsch offers a more literary and contemporary-minded guide that keeps the dialogue's provocations intact. He helps readers see why Plato can be inspiring and troubling at the same time, and why that tension is productive. If you want a companion that prepares you to read The Republic with sharper questions, greater context, and a stronger sense of its continuing relevance, this book is worth buying. If you would like to support Adam Kirsch, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.